Well, good morning, and it's great to spend Easter with all of you in your homes this morning. And I'm going to do something I never thought I would do virtually that I believe you had a chance to practice earlier. So we're going to try this again this Easter morning. He is risen. And I think you all from home responded, "He is risen indeed." At least I hope you did, because that's the greatest promise we have as Christians, that Jesus is risen from the grave, and indeed he is still risen today. And this Easter is different than probably any Easter we've experienced. There's been so much that's been flipped upside down in our world, a lot of uncertainties, and all of the plans we created have been canceled. Many of you had plans to spend with your family this weekend. We had plans for an Easter egg hunt and Easter breakfast. But here we are, gathering in our own homes, remembering the one constant, in spite of everything else changing, that Jesus rose from the dead. And nothing will ever change that. It's a great promise that we hold on to, and we know there's many promises of Easter. And that's what we'll be studying this morning as we look at the resurrection account in Matthew 28. That we are in an Easter season, of course, like any other, where there's worry, confusion, and doubt. But this isn't entirely different than the first Easter 2,000 years ago, when many of the believers and the disciples were trying to figure out what was going on, and they weren't sure what was happening at the time. There's great fear, great anxiety and confusion, but Jesus revealed that he keeps his promises, and that there's many promises that accompany the resurrection. So as we read through the scriptures, you can follow with me in Matthew 28. We're going to be reading most of it this morning, and we'll be skipping verses 11 through 15 right now, but I'll be referencing them later. But as you open up your Bibles or join along on the screen, join with me in prayer before we read the scripture this morning. So Lord, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for this amazing story that changes our lives and changes our eternity, that you did in fact come to live on this earth, that you died, and that you rose again after the third day. And what an amazing promise that was, that you did that for us so that we may have new life in you. So as we read this story, as we read this text, that we just pray that you would speak to us in a new and a fresh way through your Holy Spirit. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, join with me now. I'll start on verse 1, Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." As we look forward now at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's an amazing story to reflect on. And Easter after Easter, as I read through these Gospels and read through these stories, I'm always in awe of what God did for us. As we think about that Easter morning, those women who are coming to the tomb to mourn and to grieve over the body of Jesus and anoint him for death. And even then, that the priests and the government was doing everything they could to protect that body because they knew that some may try to steal it and claim that Jesus was the Messiah. But Jesus was the Messiah. And through his power, an angel of the Lord was sent down to open up that tomb, and the earth shook again. And on Good Friday, we know that the earth trembled as it mourned the loss and the pain of Jesus as he took the sin upon his world upon his shoulders. Now the earth trembles again with joy that God finished what he started. And we know that first point, that Jesus keeps his promises. No matter what you're going through, you can trust Jesus to do exactly what he promises to do. And there's many promises of God throughout the scriptures. We know that he gives us strength when we feel weak, that he comforts us when we mourn or when we're sad, that he gives us wisdom when we seek it, and he provides for us everything we need. But we can trust all of these promises because Jesus fulfilled the greatest promise on Easter morning. And it's a promise that spanned back all the way to the beginning when we had our first sin as people, that God promised to send one to deliver us from that sin and to restore us back into right relationship with him. Now, we work with promises all the time in our lives. We have a lot of trust in the things around us. I'm sitting in a chair right now, even as I rock on it. I know it could break. I didn't check this chair out before I sat on it, trusting that it was going to hold me, and so far it is. And there's many promises we deal with in life on day-to-day. If I were to write you a check for $50, it's a promise to you saying that I have that money when you go to cash it. And you could cash that check for $50, and that would go through. I could also write you a check for $1 million. And you might be really excited. It might be the most important moment of your life. But 3 days from now, you're going to get some bad news that check couldn't be delivered on. And I couldn't keep that promise to you. But on Good Friday, when Jesus hung on the cross, God wrote a check for the greatest amount in human history. When he offered his son Jesus on the cross, it was for the full payment of the sins of all of humanity. And 3 days later, when Jesus rose from the grave that Easter Sunday, the check cleared and the promise was fulfilled. And it was exactly as Jesus had said. As the angel said to the women, he is not here. He is risen just as he said. Now, Jesus had told his disciples many times exactly what he was going to do. And if you look just a few chapters prior in Matthew 16, he said this as he was predicting his death to the disciples. He says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Now, they didn't understand that at the time. Peter says, never, we won't allow that. But Jesus says, you don't have in mind God's concerns, but merely the concerns of humans. And we see over and over again with the disciples, and it's true in our own lives, that we misunderstand or we doubt Jesus and what he's going to do. But even in that, Jesus is faithful and he's true to his promises. If Jesus keeps the promise of raising himself from the dead for our behalf, then we can trust every other promise he makes. And that the angel to the women even offers the ability to take a look if they don't believe him. Take a look, for he's not there. And we often think that the angel rolled the stone away for Jesus to come out of the tomb, but is actually for those to look inside in case they don't believe him. But Jesus fills every promise. And so those women ran away with joy and fear to tell the disciples what they had seen and what they believe. But there's some who don't believe in those promises, and they'll make every attempt to explain it with logic or with their own understanding. For those guards there, they had one job. I feel bad for them that they had this assignment. It was the toughest assignment in the history of anyone to guard that tomb to make sure Jesus didn't come out. But he did. And so they conspired with the high priests and the elders to make up a story that the disciples came in the middle of the night to steal that body, which doesn't look great for the guards, but it was better than the truth. And throughout history, there's others who have tried to explain things, and in our own lives, even when God does fulfill his promises, we try to make up an explanation or think of other things. But as you reflect, if you look at the proof in your life as the angel offered to those women, God always delivers on his promises. All you have to do is look and evaluate. Well, we know that the story that was thought up by those elders and the guards didn't work, because we're meeting this morning to exclaim that Jesus is risen, and he's risen indeed. And it's the greatest promise that was ever given and the greatest promise that was ever fulfilled. So the question I want you to reflect on as we start in our sermon this morning is this: how have you experienced the promises of Jesus in your life? And there's many things that Jesus promises us: his peace, his love, his comfort. He promises that he'll give us everything we need when we need it. But the promises in your life, take a moment to reflect and talk with your family members or think to yourself, how have you experienced the promises of Jesus in your life? Because all you need to do is go and look and see for yourself. He always keeps his promises. Well, it's amazing to reflect on the promises of Jesus in your life. And now we're going to look at three specific promises that we see in this Easter text this morning. And the first is our second point of today's sermon, that Jesus will meet us when we seek him. And it's amazing to think that right after Jesus was resurrected from the grave, he went straight to the people he loved and the people who loved him. And so the two women, and as we know there's more than these two women from the other accounts, were approached by Jesus in the text. And there's many things that could have kept these women from going there that morning. Oftentimes we fail to remember the promise that Jesus will always meet us because we see the obstacles that are in our way. And so for these women, they could have thought about the guards that were stationed outside the tomb. They had already been there for 2 or 3 days. They could have thought about the large stone that was in front of the tomb and thought, how could we ever roll that away? But still they went earnestly seeking Jesus that morning. They just encountered him in a way that they weren't anticipating. And the same is true with the disciples, the ones who Jesus was going to meet in Galilee. They were overtaken with fear at this point, and the disciples had retreated out of Jerusalem and were hiding low because they were afraid for their own lives, because they were identified as disciples of Jesus. There's much confusion and doubt, and as we know, that they still didn't understand how everything was working at this point. But yet Jesus called them. And so when they went to meet with Jesus, when they sought Jesus, Jesus met with them. That's an amazing part of the story and a promise we can all hold on to. And we see that in the text here as Jesus was talking to the women to go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, what's amazing about this text is that he calls his disciples his brothers. And it's a wonderful kinship that we share with Jesus as we love him, as we believe in him. Hebrews 2:11 tells us that Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and his sisters. He longs to be with us. And it's not that these disciples were special people or these women were special people. What's comforting about this story is that Jesus called very ordinary people around him. They're a lot like you and me. And oftentimes we elevate these disciples to a level and we think that they were special or elite in their society. But we know that they were certainly ambitious. They were hungry to learn from Jesus and very devoted to him. But sometimes they're also very confused at his teachings. They were very afraid even when Jesus was there in their midst. And they even doubted his promises. Sometimes they were just dense. That's encouraging though, isn't it? That Jesus called the ordinary to him. That he called fishermen like Andrew, Peter, James, and John. He called the outcast and the unacceptable of the society, like Matthew the tax collector. He called those who were overzealous, like Simon, who was a political activist. None of them were entirely special or extraordinary. And they didn't even understand exactly what Jesus was promising to do, but they believed in him, and they loved him, and they sought him with their whole heart. That's a great promise of Easter, as Jesus rose from the dead and longs to be with all of us. He's calling you by name, and he wants to see you as the risen King. And you don't need to be special. You don't need to be extraordinary, because Jesus meets us exactly as we are when we seek him with our whole heart, even when we're afraid, even when we doubt. And we see the disciples, some worshiped him, and some still doubted him, as we see in the text. But Jesus promised, if you seek him, he will be there. And it's not just a half-hearted attempt. We know that we should seek him with all of our hearts. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." But as I said before, sometimes we never seek Jesus because we can only see the obstacles in our life. Maybe for some of you, your obstacle is doubt. Well, then ask God to give you the faith that you need, and he'll provide it. Maybe it's some sin in your life. And many of us think that if we make too big of a mistake or too great of a sin, that it can never be overcome by Jesus. But Jesus hung on the cross not just for the little sins or the insignificant sins. He paid the price for all sins of mankind. Jesus died to forgive you of your sin. And there's nothing you need to do to overcome that yourself or to cover it up. Jesus paid the price for you. So don't let sin stand in your way of seeking Jesus. Call to him and ask him for forgiveness. Maybe for some of it's pride, and you say, you don't need Jesus, you don't need God. But the Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Is there some heavy burden that you're carrying, and you think that there's just not enough time to seek Jesus, or it's not as important? Well, there's an invitation from Jesus as well. We can cast all our cares upon him, because he cares for you. Can you trust God to roll the stone away in your life? And that if you call for him, he will answer. Jesus promises to meet us when we seek him. So the question I want you to think about now, what are the obstacles that are standing in your way of seeking Jesus? And how can you seek him with your whole heart? Thank you. Well, as we continue to reflect on the amazing promises of Jesus, I think the next is certainly applicable to where we are in life. Jesus has authority over everything. Jesus is completely in control. And at a time when there's so many unknowns and uncertainties, we can rest in the peace that Jesus has all authority. It's amazing to think about the verses coming up that we study. Now, often the Great Commission, we think about them as a global call to missions, which they certainly are, and you'd study them during a missions week or a missions focus. But remember in context, at least in this account, these are the first words that Jesus shares with his disciples. His disciples are scared, they're confused, there's doubt. Again, we read that some worshiped Jesus, some doubted Jesus. And they're in this spot where their whole world was flipped upside down, and they're saying, this isn't normal. This wasn't in my plans. This isn't what I was hoping or expecting for. And they're wondering, how long is it going to be for things to go back to normal? Days, weeks, months, years? And how can I remain confident and courageous when the world as I know it is falling apart? It's a lot of where we're at right now. But the first words he shares with them as he's sensing their doubt and their fear is this: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus is in control of everything, and nothing is going outside of his own plan. Everything is working exactly as he intended it to, even when we don't understand. And we're in a spot now where you ask the question, does God know what he's doing? Does God understand what I need right now? But we know from this promise that when life feels out of our control, we remember that God has total control. And see, we spend so much time worrying about the what-ifs of life that we forget to remember the what-is. Jesus is risen. And he conquered for us our greatest problem, the grave. Our sin leads us to the grave. Jesus came to conquer our greatest fear and our greatest problem through his authority. What problem are you facing greater than the grave? There's lots of things we can be worried about, but there is no issue greater than your own sin. Jesus conquered the grave to set you free. So do not fear. There's nothing else in this world that can be a greater peace for us than Jesus conquering the grave. And that's the message we read through this text as the angel spoke to the women, as Jesus spoke to the women, and now as Jesus is speaking to his disciples, don't be afraid, because I rose from the grave. And if we remember that, we know that the world may have trials, it may have troubles and tribulation, and it's certainly not always easy, but God settled our greatest problem for us. And that gives us the boldness and the certainty to face whatever comes our way in life as we remember a risen Savior who has all authority over heaven and earth. So the question I want you to reflect on now is this: if you truly believe Jesus has all authority, how does that change the way you face uncertainties in life? Take a moment now, pause and reflect. Well, as we conclude our message today with the final promise, I believe this is the most important promise of Easter and the most amazing promise to hold on a day-to-day basis, that Jesus, who rose from the grave and who longs to be with us, and has all authority over heaven and earth will never, ever leave us. And this is a wonderful promise only a risen Savior can give. There are no restrictions of place or time or people. Jesus, risen from the grave, can now be with us wherever we go. And that's the final promise, the parting words he gives to his disciples in this account. In verse 20, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And this is a way of enabling the disciples to feel confident and courageous in whatever might come their way. No matter how hard it might feel, no matter how confusing it is in the moment, or if you're in a mountain peak or a valley experience in life, Jesus never leaves you. And there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. One of the great and encouraging scriptures that I hold on to is in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us. And Jesus promises he will never leave you or forsake you. He's with you through the thick and the thin because he rose from the grave and he lives in us and through us. See, Jesus knows you very well. I'm not sure where you're at in your faith. Maybe you don't know Jesus very well, but he knows everything about you. And he longs to be with you. He loves you deeply. And because he's risen up from the grave, nothing can separate you from him. And see, this is the very reason Jesus came to earth. It's the whole motivation behind the Easter story. He came, he dwelt among men, he took upon himself the sins of the world and experienced a terrible death on our behalf, and then he rose from the grave so we no longer experience that death. And why did he do that? So we could spend eternity with him. It's the whole motivation behind the Easter story, that we can be with him forever. And that's the promise he leaves with his disciples here. "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That's what makes the Easter story amazing. He didn't do it for himself. He did it in his own power, but he did it for you. He did it because he loves you and he longs to be with you. He did it so you and Jesus can be together forever. His parting promise to his disciples and to us is that he will never, ever leave us. See, that's not just good news. That's great news. It's the greatest news. It's life-changing, eternity-changing news. Jesus conquered death so that we may be with him forever in life. Now, two times we saw in the text today an instruction to the women and also to the disciples, we saw that they are to go and tell of the great news. And that's one of the greatest opportunities we have as Christians, is to go and tell the world that Jesus rose from the dead. We certainly do that with our words. We also do that with our lives, with our actions, with our attitudes, with our outlook, that Jesus rose from the grave and he never leaves us. Someone at some point in your life, if you're a Christian, told you that Jesus rose from the grave, and it was good news for you. There's someone out there right now that's hungering for the same news, who's short on hope, who's confused in the world, and they need to know that Jesus overcame their greatest problem and longs to be with them. There's a story I read of some missionaries who who were visiting an island in Indonesia. And this particular tribe was terrified of death. They longed for someone to conquer death so that they may escape it. And so they hoped that someone from their tribe at some point would come back from the dead. So their custom was to bury their loved ones and keep their bones, their remains, in a box inside of their house. And every so often they go up and open up these boxes to see if they were still there or if they conquered death. And of course, no one did. But it wasn't until the missionaries came that they went and they told of the good news of Jesus, that Jesus rose from the grave, that they may have life through him. And the whole village was celebrating this news with great joy that finally, after all these generations, they were told of someone who conquered death for them, that they may find the way to life. Now, it doesn't have to be so dramatic. Maybe there's someone around you who needs to hear that good news. Maybe you're watching this morning and you still haven't heard that news, and you're wrestling with this idea of Jesus dying for you and what that means for your life. Well, Jesus longs to know you. Jesus died for you and for your sins. And when you become a Christian, you understand that you are on your way toward death, that you are in your own grave of sin. Every one of us. No one is without sin, no matter what that sin may look like. But when we believe that Jesus conquered death, we receive new life in him. And so all you need to do is just understand that there is sin in your life. I have sin in my life. Everyone has sin of some kind. And you may try to compare yourself to others and think, my sin's not as bad as them. That might make you feel good, but it doesn't give you life. You may try to overcompensate and just build a bunch of good works on top of your sin and hope that that will earn God's love, but it doesn't. Jesus paid that price for you, and he overcame death for you because he loved you. All you have to do is believe and accept that Jesus paid for your sins and that he is God. The Bible tells us if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I encourage you to do that this morning, or if you have done that, to share that great news with others. That's the good news of Easter. That's what's worth shouting and celebrating, that he is risen. He's risen indeed. We're going to close with a song here as we reflect on the living hope we have in Jesus, that we can sing hallelujah, that Jesus sets us free from our sin and death no longer has its grip on me. But if you just take a moment, we're going to close this message in prayer as we transition into this closing song. So join with me as we pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing story, this amazing account of what you did, that you came, you died, and you rose again. And every time we hear this and every time we recognize and reflect on what you did, it is amazing, it is awe-inspiring that you love us so deeply, every one of us, so deeply, that you came to be our sin, that you took it upon your shoulders and you paid the price for us so that we may have new life, eternal life in you. And you didn't do it for yourself. You did it out of your great love for us. So we're humbled, we're honored that you call us. And God, we just pray that you are given all the glory for what you do in our lives. So as we close in this song, I just pray, Lord, that you be glorified, you be magnified in it as we reflect in you, our great and living hope. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.